Emanating from the campus of Western Kentucky University and heard throughout the Commonwealth. From the land between the lakes to the Cumberland Gap. From Louisville to Bowling Green. And everywhere in between, get ready to enter the red zone. Your destination for all things sports. And now, here's your host, Tyler Fernandez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to WKU Red Zone Radio on this wonderful Sunday, March 3rd. I'm your host, Tyler Fernandez, for tonight's show. I'm joined alongside by the wonderful crew of the Red Zone Roundtable, Will Gerber, Tanner Blood, and Logan Blanford joining us.
Small table.
We got a small Red Zone Radio table tonight, but hey, we're going to get through it. Hey, the plus is it, everybody's got their own mic, so we don't even need to be slipping and sliding.
It's not going to be a chaotic episode.
Nope.
We're going to have a little sit down and
nope.
Have some talk today. Mics will be bouncing around everywhere.
No, yeah, but
Cole won't hit the monitor.
But even though I want to talk about WKU women's basketball, who the heck cares? They blew another 16-point lead. We'll move on. No disrespect to them, but this has been an awful year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're done. There's nothing left to talk about.
I guess what we can talk about is, do you all think the coach will be fired?
Ooh.
Greg Collins, I think.
If they don't win again, yes.
If they don't win again, but possibly. I saw a tweet one time that said, oh, fire Greg Collins and Todd Stewart. It's like, Todd Stewart had nothing to do with this. Todd Stewart's done really well. He's really one of the best ADs in the country. Yeah, whoever came with that, their brains fried. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I do agree. Just the thing has not gotten any easier. And once again, part of the 5-game losing streak is you didn't finish out games. And once again, another FIU game, that was another example of just that. But anyways,
which is usually a sign of like coaching issues. Also, if you can't finish games over and over and over again,
I
think that even if he doesn't win, I don't think they're going to fire him this year. I think that.
Give him one more year.
They will.
They underperformed this year.
They don't lose that game yesterday with Acacia. If they have her, they're not losing it. But
they overperformed last year, though. So
yeah, they did.
We'll see.
I mean, the thing is they've taken a huge step back. I mean, I understand it was been transfer portals and all that stuff because you had Hope, Jalen Foster, and Maya Meredith leave the program. I mean, those are arguably three of your best players. Because Jalen's good in the post. She can also shoot the ball really well. Hope Savory can shoot the ball really well. Maya Meredith, she's tough, physical in the post, and definitely I think that's what this team is missing. So, thing is with I don't mean to call anybody out here, but poor Caitlin Staley, man. She had it rough and just too many mistakes, and the problem is you cannot play scared, and I think right now she's playing scared. I understand she's a freshman and all, but it's like we're at this point in the game where like every bucket matters, and it's just not coming through. Nope. But anyways,
I just don't really see any togetherness in this team.
No, yeah. there's a disconnect. But
because they've gone through a lot.
Figured out
Acacia's injury, Destiny's suspension. It's just been that kind of year. Anyways, transitioning over from one side, from the Hill to South Beach, Miami, Florida. Oh, jumping jeez! How about this?
Well,
lousy
on the
week,
beach, didn't they, Tyler?
Lousy week against a lousy team.
Another one.
Fell to FIU, hot garbage, 85-83. No, FIU didn't win. Javonte Hawkins won because he had 27 points and scored the last 6 points for FIU to win the game, including that game-winning shot.
And to the people who missed the game, the score doesn't show. Like, WKU had to battle.
They did.
They were getting wiped all game. They were down by double digits at half, I think.
The most they were down by was like 15.
Yeah, they got
15 or 13
at points. I mean, this was – they played like this against any team towards the top, from Liberty to Sam Houston to Louisiana.
Well, exactly.
Even Jacksonville State.
The worst team exactly. Jacksonville FIU's just so bad that they were somehow able to stay in the game.
It was like a worse middle game, like last week's middle game. That's what it felt like. It was a worse vision of that.
I feel like the main thing was – I feel like when Dante Allen hit that three, I felt like momentum just swung to Western side because, I mean – He came through in the clutch, but then the problem was is that you let Javonte Hawkins get hot at the wrong time. He hit a big three, and then he hit a big shot. Brandon Newman covered it really well. He just jumped over him. He just out-jumped Brandon Newman. But anyways, now on a 3-game losing streak, got one more game to try to get to 20 wins and be the first coach since Ray Harper to have 20 or more to have at least 20 wins in the first season as head coach. So. They'll play at Liberty, which is definitely a tough place to play.
Go win that one.
Go win that one.
All's forgiven.
Yeah. because I mean, conference tournament. At this point in the season right now, I mean, records you can just straight up throw out because it's been who's been playing their best basketball.
Well, the record, like, that's the thing with Conference USA. It's a low-level conference, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like low-level conferences because the conference tournament matters that much more. Throw the records away, it doesn't matter. You're all 0-0. It's, you know, who can play, who can string together 3 wins in 3 days kind of deal.
The problem is we just also need to get the post back involved in scoring more to back where they are. Like, Rodney Howard needs – I want Rodney Howard to be back what he was when the team was on their 5-game winning streak.
They will. You look at this, like, you know, they've lost 3 in a row, and you say peaking at the right time. Well, the good thing is we're not peaking right now, so you know, we could still do it in a couple weeks in Huntsville.
Well, yeah. Anything matters. Anything else before we move on to high school basketball?
Nope.
All right, cool. High school basketball, as we preview some of the region tournaments, we'll also talk about some of the tournaments that happened today. In the 4th region, boys, as that
this
will
is,
begin
oh
on Tuesday, March 5th.
This is a horrible, horrible bracket. Read it for us.
Cumberland County will take on Barron County.
Yuck.
Bruh. Bowling Green,
woo!
Russellville.
Oh,
blow out.
Oh, man, that's a, I'm sorry, Russellville. It was one of those, when Russellville won their first district game, we were all at the 14th district tournament. We all look at each other and go, well, we know who they're going to draw, Bowling Green.
Yeah, I watched Russellville play against Warren Central.
They are awful.
They got beat by 30 by Central.
So yeah, I don't think Cade played in that game.
No, Cade did play
there.
Oh, he
did.
Yeah. All right. Cade went off in that game, but like,
yeah. Logan County will take on Warren Central.
Oh, wow, that's real scary. Another one. Logan County's bad.
But I think one that might be interesting is Glasgow Metcalf County.
Yeah, but because they're both horrible, not because they're both. Like, I think Glasgow's like 10 and 18 and Metcalf's like 10 and 18.
No, I'm not saying anything, but Greenwood straight up blew them out of the water.
They did.
They did. All right, transitioning over to,
Greenwood. I mean, maybe not Greenwood, but South Warren for sure. If they were in any other district in this region, they'd be in the region tournament right now, and possibly Greenwood. I mean, we could make a case, maybe, but
yeah. All right, well, moving on to Cole's favorite region, the 9th.
Yeah, even though he's not here, let's just dog on it. No one cares about this one. Newport's going to win it. No, I'm just kidding. It's a tough region for sure. Obviously, Covcath, Cooper is very good.
Yep.
Highlands, you won a state championship 3 years ago, their last team from the 9th region to win it. But it's lined up like Newport should win it. There's not really anyone else. They play Cole's old high school, Ryle, in the first round. They'll win that one pretty handily. Newport should win this one. There's no debate there.
Any thoughts on the 9th? Or any takes? All right, cool. Thank you, Will, for that. Transitioning into the 2nd region, I think it's pretty clear it's Lyon County's to lose.
This
one could be interesting.
Just because it's set up so that Henderson and Lyon will play in the championship. And Henderson did beat Lyon County when Lyon County was out. I'm pretty sure they did.
I think they did. I think it was when they had a little bit of a little skid.
Yeah,
going,
Lyon County was missing a couple guys, and they got them. And Henderson did lose to Bowling Green, so there's a lot of
stuff that's going to
shake out in the next 10 days.
I mean, here's the thing, though. But I mean, when you talk about it, I mean, Lyon County literally almost lost to Bowling Green in overtime.
Bowling Green, you talk about peaking at the right time, Bowling Green is.
Yeah.
I mean, they're reminiscent of what Warren Central did last year. Warren Central, they only lost one time, so, you know, not a great comparison. Bowling Green's lost 5 times, but since January 1st, Bowling Green has
lost
once.
Oh, they've lost
one
time.
And it was to Lyon County in double overtime on the road by 1. So, very reminiscent of what Warren Central did last year.
Do you think Bowling Green could have won it had it been at Bowling Green?
Yeah, I think they could, you know, play again. And, you know, it's something that, I mean, we'll see. But Bowling Green peaks at the right time. This is not a field that there's not one team. Like, last year, people wouldn't say it, but last year was like, it's Warren Central. Like, come on, no one's beating this team. 2 years ago, everyone said GRC, and it ended up being them, although Warren Central almost got them.
I mean, I've honestly been impressed with Bowling Green, like, not only
Bowling Green
all year long.
Good. And
they
thing
look
with
like
them
dumb.
Is they're dynamic in a way because they're small. They're small. You take Ritter off the floor, they're all 6 feet tall. But DG Sherrill does a tremendous job
with
in being able to get them to still function and beat teams like Lyon County, possibly beat teams like Lyon County.
Yeah.
The problem with Lyon is –
I mean, they have Perry. So
you got Perry, but like you've got other guys too.
Well,
which
yeah,
makes...
but the thing is, you're not going to be able to shut Perry down. So you got to look at the rest of the team.
You do, and that's the thing. Like, and Bowling Green kind of did that in the last game. Was you know force him to be the main scorer because they have other pieces. Lyon County does that are very good, and they could win a state championship. But that said, you've got to shut down all of them and force Travis Perry to do everything.
Yeah,
I mean, here's the thing. Travis Perry, he is the guy. Like, I watched him play at the West Strader Schoolboy Classic.
He's phenomenal.
He was phenomenal. Looking at the roster here, I'm trying to also look at other guys who I've
got that big guy. I don't remember his name, but yeah. he was not Decker. That's Ohio County.
Yeah. I was gonna say the guy who you're kind of Lucas Breedlove could
Breedlove,
be.
Breedlove, that's the one I'm thinking.
Breedlove.
Of.
Breedlove, yep. He can be good. Yeah.
He's 6'6", 6'7". You know, he's got size and you know, a lot of that offense, believe it or not, runs through him. So you get him in foul trouble, then you really force Travis Perry to do everything, which like oh boo hoo, he's a leading scorer in history of Kentucky high school basketball. So clearly he knows a thing or two, but
yeah, only and five over 5,000 points. And also you could have also Brady shoulders.
Like they're
he's been good
all around. They're
Bray Kirk can be good on a given
a
night.
Team. They are. They're more balanced. Than
they even though play. They don't have a whole lot of depth, they I mean they got it in talent and in coach and they have a good coach in Ryan Perry. So
yep.
they could be a dangerous force. But anyways, transitioning now over to the 11th region, boys.
This one
Frederick
is...
Douglass, Madison Central. I don't know. Maybe
Douglass in that one.
Lexington Catholic. They are stand. They could be. They're also standing on Western Hills. Great Crossing, Bryan Station.
What region is Great Crossing?
The 11th region.
This region. So when they redo, this is by far the hardest region. I mean, you look at who's in this. You've got Frederick Douglass. Madison Central's not very good this year, but in the past they've had teams. You know, they won a state championship. They've gone to Sweet 16 recently, and I mean Douglass, you know, was a few stops away from playing for a state championship last year, and then you have the two best teams in Kentucky in Lexington Catholic and Great Crossing. One of those teams is not going to make it to the Sweet 16, and that's I mean.
Which is,
which
is unfortunate. Which is unfortunate because
ultimately,
this is like
well, and then you've got a region like the 10th region where GRC is going to beat everybody by 40 points because it's bad. It's
well, and the thing about those regions is Lexington's talent is all spread out, whereas Louisville's talent is so like unbalanced. So
yeah, I agree.
That's why that region ends up being so tough.
And then like Great Crossing, you know, hasn't been at school very long and they got good really fast, and you know they still next year they'll still be, but I mean they're ranked in the nationally, they're ranked in the country. So this is Great Crossing is the team to beat, and you know what's crazy is that you could have a situation where Lexington Catholic beats Great Crossing, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, and that's happened before. It happened a couple of years ago, actually last year. Douglass upset some teams. They went on a crazy run, and. I mean, it's anything can happen in that one. It'll be interesting at Paul Lawrence Dunbar. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Moving on now to the 7th region.
Yeah.
This is a good region. I like the 7th region because this is a tough region.
This is where all
like
the talent
out of it,
is.
Don't sleep on Eagles.
Don't sleep on Eagles.
Hey, how about the Eagles? Lunch pail guys.
I
watched the district championship game. They played Ballard. And Ballard, their record is bad, but they are playing really well right now. I wouldn't be shocked if
Eastern beat
if they
Ballard,
give,
right?
Yeah, they'd beat him twice. But, you know, you look at this bracket, and
you got
St. X is the one that sticks out. And, you know,
Trinity.
People are like, oh, St. X has such an easy road to the championship game. Like, watch out for those Eagles. Come on. They're going to do it. No, not probably not. But the bottom of this bracket is loaded.
How do you feel about them against Seneca?
I think they'll beat them. They'll be fine. I mean, you got Trinity and Ballard. That's been a region.
Can't
that was a region championship
one.
Game a couple
Brock's
years ago.
Brock's can't lose that one.
Manuel Male. I mean, that's the other one in that lower half of the bracket. So, I mean, it's tough for Manuel because this is arguably one of the best teams they've ever had. And they're going to have to beat the likes of Male, Trinity, or Ballard, and then St. X to get to Lexington.
I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, it's nuts.
This one's loaded, too. Mm-hmm. It's not quite like the 11th, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. And to round it off, we'll go now to the 6th region, boys. DeSales, Fern Creek, Fairdale. I think they're a good team. Fairdale
they
is.
Are.
Moore, really Evangel Christian, Holy Cross, and Jefferson Town and Butler rounding it off.
Who's got to be the favorite in this? DeSales?
Evangel.
Really?
Evangel was a random school that I'd never heard Evangel's, of, and then they came down here and played. Didn't they play Bowling Green pretty Green. Well?
Yeah.
And like only
they're
like
good.
Two.
Like they're
yeah, they're
they've
a
gotten
good
a lot
team,
of attention.
I'd never heard
However,
of
they have blown it in the region the last several years. J-Town. Of all the teams, J-Town's the one that has won. They've won back-to-back six region titles. What you look at that, you go, what in the world? Like, you've got DeSales, you have Evangel, Butler. They're all really good every year. So they have a tough one, though. They drew Butler, who lost to DeSales in the district championship, so they'll have to host them. But, I mean, for this one, ideally, your championship's going to be DeSales and Evangel, unless Fairdale can upset DeSales, but we'll see what happens there.
Well, before we go ahead and move on, I do want to recap a couple of games that took place in Diddle Arena. Earlier today, the girls' fourth region kicked off, and so far, it's been so far. I mean, Franklin Simpson blew out Allen County Scottsville, which was expected.
Man, that game was brutal.
It was brutal. I mean, Larisha Cawthorn had 21 points, 15
in
the first half.
The first quarter.
She is a
beast. She was beating Allen County Scottsville by 15 points. And after the first, right? How many points? 10.
She had
10
points.
She was beating them by 7 points.
Yeah.
Alone. She was beating them 17 to 10.
Yeah, I think at one point she started out the game and had like 10 of their first 16.
Yep.
Like she's on a whole other level.
Franklin Simpson's a very good team.
And they also got other players too that can step up, like Jasmine Savage.
They're a sleeper team.
Yeah.
In
the
grand scheme of things.
Have they been historically good, or is this just
kind
of a once in a lifetime
year? They hired a new coach a couple of years ago. Ashley Taylor.
She's phenomenal.
She gets high praise from every coach in the region that, you know, and it's very obvious.
She's developed a system.
They play old school basketball. Calvin Head said that today. Yeah. They take it inside and then they'll go from there.
Yeah. Which is kind of surprising when she wasn't named coach of the year because she's been phenomenal.
Oh,
undefeated. Yeah, 30-1. And they have not lost in the region this year. Which is unbelievable because it's because the fourth region, there's some tough teams in there. But, I mean, right now, it's just
it
Franklin
sucks.
Simpson.
It sucks that,
and
that
everybody else.
That Bowling Green Franklin Simpson is the semifinal game.
Yeah, I'd rather it be the
no
championship game.
No offense to anyone on the other side of that bracket, but that is the championship game. The winner of that game is going to win the region.
I agree with that. The other game that took place, speaking of Bowling Green, it was definitely an ugly game to say the least.
Bowling Green plays ugly,
but they do play ugly. They play ugly, but they find ways
to
win.
They win ugly. Like it's like one of those things where I was talking with the guy that covers Franklin Simpson. You know, he's like, yeah, they score 44 points. They're not going to beat Franklin Simpson. I said, they've been doing that all year. Bowling Green's not a team. They're not going to go in the gym and score 70 points.
Mm, yeah.
They'll go in the gym and score 40 points, and they'll hold their opponent to 20.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very ugly style of basketball, but it's one that we'll see what happens, how they match up against Franklin Simpson. I don't know. They're going to have to slow them down. They can't let them score 60 points like ACS did today. So that's the big thing. If Bowling Green can hold them under 45, 50 points, it's a game.
Yep.
I think they can hang in there. Yep.
The games that are upcoming tomorrow to conclude the quarterfinals please correct me if I get them wrong. Warren East, and they are taking on, is it Todd County Central?
Yeah, they're playing.
So Todd County Central. So Warren East, Todd County Central. And then Metcalf County and South Warren.
Yeah.
So
give me Metcalf and East. I mean, those are – Metcalf's a sneaky team. They've been –
South Warren's
was
sneaky because I didn't –
South Warren's bad.
But
Greenwood shouldn't have lost
Greenwood,
to them.
Yeah.
That was a did they lay an egg? I watched them play Bowling Green. I was like, this team has no business being here. But give me Metcalf County to actually come out of that side and play whoever, Bowling Green or Franklin Simpson. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick Bowling Green to beat Metcalf County in the championship game. We'll see.
Well, it's all going to come down to if they can overcome the greatness
you beat
of Ashley
Franklin,
Taylor
you beat
and Franklin Simpson.
Franklin Simpson, you're feeling pretty good. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'll be like, all right, no one's stopping us now.
If you beat Franklin Simpson, it's just like, man, y'all earned respect this year because it's been an up and down year for BG because Taylor Wardlow got hurt against Barron County, then they lost to Greenwood, lost to Central, but other than that, ever since Wardlow's been back, I mean. I think they're a completely different team. When they have Wardlow versus without Wardlow, because Smiley puts up better numbers. Yep. And I'm not accusing Smiley being a bad player. She is a fan. She is really good. She leads the team in scoring.
She's number two. She's not the number one. So I mean,
what I'm saying is
she's a number two. Like, she's a guard, but she's a number two. You need a point guard, and you have her. She's your main scorer, but she's not going to take the ball up the court and go score. She's going to be a guy you're going to throw it out to. You're going to find her open and then get it to her. And that's why her and Atay are so good together. And they're both juniors, so they'll be back next year.
They'll be back next year. It hurts. I mean, honestly, it's unfortunate Josiah is out.
Yeah.
Because I think what she did, tore ACL or something like that.
Said it was just knee. It's nothing diagnosed that was serious.
Yeah, I mean, because when she got hurt in that district championship game, she could not walk.
Those are meaningless. That just makes it even more like – she got hurt in a game where it didn't really matter if they won or not.
Yeah. All right. Well, enough of high school basketball, but there's still more fun things to come from Diddle and across the state of Kentucky. Now we'll go ahead and go to men's college basketball. Speaking of Kentucky, launch pal guy Ray Shepard, game winner against those Bulldogs of Mississippi State. No, I don't mean Georgia. I mean Mississippi State. I thought that was crazy, man. Hey, give props to Reed Shepard, man. Last 90 seconds of that game was all Reed Shepard. I mean, basket, Reed Shepard. Steals, Reed Shepard. I mean, everything in those last two minutes, if you're watching, if you see play-by-play on ESPN, it was just Reed Shepard this, Reed Shepard did that. Reed Shepard went to the rack and scored. All that craziness.
Kentucky has the best offense in the country. They do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even close.
Their defense is terrible.
It's terrible.
Over and over again.
They're like, we scored 128 points.
I'm like, yeah, and you gave up 110. Like,
you give up 102 to Arkansas.
Arkansas, who is
you're not winning
bad.
The championship because no, there's better nope. teams that are going to
because offense isn't always going to be there.
Oh no,
you're not. There are nights
because
and it showed last year when
they
played
run into defenses that are good enough, and when you get late into the tournament. That's why I said this year, I don't think they're going to get upset early, but they're going to get to the Elite Eight, maybe the Final Four, and play a team that just simply is going to shut them down and not going to let them score 100 points, and then they're not going to be able to defend it.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, I mean, I can't argue that. I mean, here's the thing. I think Kentucky is a solid team. Like, I really do, but I think the main problem is, as they all say, defense wins championships, and defense is what Kentucky does not have, and I think it's something that can bite them
they found
later
any-
on.
Any speck of defense, they would be a Final Four team.
100%. Sure.
Because they don't have any defense.
I'd say the farthest they can make it, if call me crazy, but I'd say probably Sweet 16.
I think they're a Sweet 16 team right now.
Yeah. Speaking of overrated, how about BYU beating Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse?
That's not an overrated win. Winning.
I'm talking about Kansas being overrated.
Oh, okay. I got
you.
Talking about Kansas.
Well, BYU's good team.
I mean, they're good. I think they're good. They're better, I think, than what people give them credit for. But, yeah, that was just a brutal thing to have happen. Speaking of brutal, oh, man, poor Auburn. Dalton Kinnett goes nuts and beats Auburn 92-84. Was that Neville or at Tennessee?
It was at Tennessee.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Well, then never mind then. It wasn't crazy. I mean, Tennessee, man, they're solid.
Good. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is really, really good.
Yep.
I mean,
They would probably be my championship pick right now.
Yeah, I mean, they got Dalton Kinnett. You got Vescovy. Who else? They got some good, solid bigs in the post.
They got their guard. What's his name? Zakai Ziegler, I think.
Zakai Ziegler. He's been good all year.
They also beat Alabama on the road.
We'll get to that in just a sec. Loyola upsets Dayton 77-72 on Friday. How about good old Sister Jean just ringing those beads, you know? I've not heard the story of Sister Jean.
Wait, I thought Sister
She's still around.
She's still around. She's 100,
103,
what? 104.
103. That's crazy.
She's old.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember her. I thought she was like 100 whenever they made the Final Four.
She might be 104 now. I don't know.
Oh, man.
She's 104.
Wow. Still kicking it. How about
1919.
That? 1919.
Woo. She's been through it all.
What's going on in 1919? Not this.
Nope.
Not doing
the world has changed
in the radio room.
They didn't have radio much in 1919.
Yeah, radio was just getting started.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's.
They definitely didn't have podcasts, that's for sure.
I don't even know if basketball was like
Basketball was made in the 1890s.
No, it wasn't. It was,
I don't even know if Western Kentucky was a campus yet. Was it?
They were. They were barely. They were 13 years old. They were probably still the Kentucky Technical College for Teachers.
Yeah. No, is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where Diddle got his start, was when he was there.
Oh, was it? That's cool. I didn't know the history behind Diddle. That's, I need to look
it's
at
wild
that.
How different 100 years, like the whole world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100 years, it's completely different.
We're getting philosophical here on the Red Zone Radio.
Where's Cole when you need him?
All right. Yeah. All right. Transitioning on to Saturday. Yeah, how about Illinois winning its fourth straight against Wisconsin? Wisconsin is just falling. They're singing way too much of Tom Petty, singing Free Falling all the dang time. It's just been a rough one for Wisconsin, but how about I'll get props to Oklahoma. Even though they lost, they fought. Like, what, Houston was up big at one point, and then they fought back. But then Jamal Shedd does what he does.
They proved they're the best team in the country, winning that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, to go, you know, it was we were watching it, and I said, you know, they have like what 8 seconds left. I said they're gonna go down here and score, and they're gonna win it. And sure enough, they get a shot, they miss it, but Shedd comes up, follows it up, 0.3 seconds, nothing but net.
Yeah. No, I could not believe. I was stunned when you called it, because I was like, dang, Will just pulled a Tanner right there. Because literally anything Tanner calls, Logan, you weren't here for this, but anything Tanner predicts, he gets right majority of the time.
Okay.
Well, majority.
I'm a big analytics guy, so I'll take analytics into play, and I'll just, you know, that's what I do to base a lot of my predictions, which sometimes that comes around and bites you in the butt, because analytics are not always right. But I appreciate the compliment.
Will, who's your disappointment team of the week?
Disappointment?
Let's wait till we get to the end of the college basketball set, and then we can figure it out. Honestly, it's not a bad question to ask, but let's just go ahead and get through some of these. Marquette, I mean, they're still a good team, but they fell they were without Tyler Kolick, so
they're not doing nothing.
Nope.
No.
But Creighton,
they're a waste of a seed.
Yep.
I mean, not waste. They're a good team, but
they're not going far.
They're not. I don't think they're a real contender.
Final four contender.
They may get. Yeah,
I don't even think Elite Eight.
They could lose early.
Yeah. They could. I mean,
they could get. They might be that team that gets upset by like a 15.
They've done it before.
Yeah,
lost to Murray State.
Was that with Jaw?
Yep. They got obliterated in that game too.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Lost by like 20.
Yeah. Brutal week.
Oh, I know the damages of John Moran from Tyler Fernandez on 2K.
Oh, yeah, dude. When I play Tanner sometimes on 2K, dude, I use John Moran all the time. John Moran's a straight-up cheat code.
He's a bucket.
But, yeah. All
right. Superstar in the NBA.
Yeah. If he can stay off the streets and stay healthy, star-caliber player.
In the last couple of years, we found out why he was at Murray State and not a big school.
No, he was a zero-star recruit coming out of high school. I'm not kidding you. He actually was. Yeah. All right. Baylor defeats Kansas, gets revenge down in Waco, Texas. Second straight loss for Kansas. Kansas is just,
they're not good. They're good. They're just
rough.
Not great.
This is probably the roughest I've seen Kansas look in a long time. Well, ever since I've been watching college basketball, that is. But anyways,
I'm not worried about him because I think Bill Self's such a good coach.
He's a good coach. I'm not dismissing the fact he's a good coach.
I bet they get to the Elite Eight. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just they just can't be fumbling the bag, you know, at the wrong time. And they've had weeks where it's like, oh, Kansas is like the best team in the country. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, they're so overrated.
Well, my problem with Kansas is I feel like they don't have a lot of depth. If you look at their box score on Kansas, they got their starters all playing 30 minutes a game.
Yep.
And then they have a solid, let's see. Yeah, I mean, their bench, I mean, I can do some quick math here. They don't even, if you add up all their bench players that even played in the game, they don't even make up 30 minutes. So it's like they don't have a lot of depth, and that's going to hurt them in March. So we'll see. That stat's wrong. It looks like they have a six man that comes in and plays. Marco Jackson comes in and plays some good minutes for them sometimes. But other than that, they got like pretty much six key pieces with three other guys that they rotate in.
But six against a team
that has a 10-man rotation.
Like, look at Illinois. They've got nine guys they can bring in. That
right. So I don't know. That concerns me for March. But then again, I flip over to Baylor, and they also don't have too much depth. I mean, they got 38 minutes out of their six man. But Well, actually, no. Baylor even played less of their March. So, I don't. But I think that death matters in March. So we'll see. You got to win six straight games. And Scott Drew and Bill Self are two of the best in the business. Yeah, you could probably argue that they're top two, maybe. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think there's talent on this Kansas team. I just think fatigue is also going to be a huge factor come tournament time. Because, like y'all said, like when you have your starting five play 30 minutes a game, That's just gonna wear you out.
35 minutes, like all of them. Pretty much
like, well, yeah. I mean,
like
same
L.
thing.
Ellis at Louisville last year. He's right. Playing 40 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, sorry, I was making a few updates there to our predictions that we'll get to later. Moving on. Washington State wins the 23rd game, the most in program history since 2006-07. Washington State, sleeper team.
They are
up in the Pacific Northwest.
Sweet 16 team for me.
What do you have him, Tanner, at?
I don't know. I haven't read a lot about Washington State. I like their head coach. He's a winner.
Two wins over Arizona.
Yeah, he's a winner. So I think that they could – I mean, I don't think Will's crazy for saying Sweet 16, but I think it'll depend on the draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean
– I think they have the ability to make the Sweet 16.
I mean –
given the right draw.
Yeah, if you
– what are they –
it all depends on the draw, honestly.
16, 7, 8?
I'm saying 4 or 5.
Wow, okay. Well, we'll see. Because they'll get a pretty good first, they'll get a pretty easy first matchup then. So all you gotta do is win two, and you're one of the last 16 teams remaining.
Yeah, that's true. Tennessee comes from behind at Coleman Coliseum, defeats Alabama 81-74. I think
statement win.
But I think part of me is also saying that Bama shot themselves in the foot, because here's the thing. I like Nate Oates as a coach. I think Nate Oates is a fantastic coach. He's had the most SEC wins since 2019 with 61. But the main thing is that you either live or die by the three.
They don't. He preaches it. He just says go run.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what they do. They let them do what they want, and that's fine. That works oftentimes.
But the problem is
you're not
going to
win ultimately by doing that. You saw that last year. They lost to San Diego State, a tough defensive team in the Sweet 16, and it, you know, it bit them.
Yeah.
They only scored, what, 50-something points?
Yeah, they only scored 50-something points.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
The team averages like 75 to 80 points a game.
I don't know about the Nate Oates. I mean, I think he's a fine coach for Alabama. But like,
great there.
A lot of people are throwing him into the hat for the Louisville conversation, and I would say no to that.
Oh, absolutely. He would be a great coach at Louisville.
Oh, the I don't think so. I think he'd be another Chris Mack.
He's got the number one rated offense in the country, and I'm with you guys.
And points per game, Division I.
Well, by points per game, but also they've scored the most points out of any other college team in the entire country. Kentucky's at
But that's
three,
never
by the way,
what Louisville's been about.
I understand, but Nate Oates is a great coach. He needs to change his ways. He needs to hire a good defensive assistant, and then
he does that, and he's fine.
Like, I think
if he hires a good good defensive minded assistant,
dude,
he's literally like the Louisville teams in the 80s,
Alabama
Houston in the 80s,
right up there with Kentucky in the SEC at a school
and,
that has the
and
most
Tennessee.
Historic football program in the country.
And Alabama Tennessee
will always be a football school.
Yeah.
Like,
oh no,
I mean,
there's no question.
There's so many Alabama fans that cheer for their football team that I know that they don't even care about the basketball team. They don't watch it. They don't even care.
Yeah.
And so it's like it doesn't like the fact that he did that at a place like Alabama in a gym that's probably worse.
Oh, it's
than Bowling
awful.
Greens.
It's awful.
It's a terrible gym. The guy recruits studs. I mean, he literally had the number two overall pick last year in the draft. He knows
Brandon
how to
Miller.
Recruit.
Brandon
he knows
Miller.
What he's looking for in a player. He knows the type of game that he wants to play, and it's either a three or in the paint. There's no mid-range game at all for Alabama.
No, there's
a perfect
not.
Perfect game for Nate Oates is all threes and paint touches. And if he can hire somebody who can come in and get a good defensive scheme and get shooters that can buy into play defense, he will eventually win a championship.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have good players. I mean,
it
they got
be
Mark.
This year, though. It definitely will not be.
No,
they play
I mean,
no defense, and he's literally said that before. That they
no,
we got to score 95 points to win.
You know, I mean, Bama's team is not as good this year as they were last year.
Well, you don't have the number two.
Brandon Miller. You don't have Brandon Miller on the team.
So they're going to regress a little bit, but they're still right there in contention for the regular season title.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to need some dominoes to fall their way with that loss to Tennessee, but they very well could.
Oh, they'll have a tough road test, but we'll get to that later. South Carolina trailed by double digits, but knocked off the whole state of Florida, 82-76, beat the Gators is what I mean by that.
Florida's
South Carolina,
a good team. I put the contrary. Chuck, I think Florida's a team that goes further in March than South Carolina does.
Todd Golden's young, bright future in college basketball, 38 years old. He's got Florida rising back kind of up in the rankings. It seemed like once Billy Donovan left, Florida's never really found their footing back in college
they've
basketball.
They've got a guy now.
Yeah, but I think it's going to need a couple years. I don't think this year's the year.
Well, I'm not saying win a lot this year, but I wouldn't shock me if Florida's in the Sweet 16.
No one shocked me either. He's got him in the top 25, and this is what year? Is this year one? Year two?
Two.
Year two.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We'll see.
South Carolina's
very underrated. I think he's a great coach, but it's going to be a process.
Yeah. You just got to find the right guys to do it. But he'll find it. Rounding it off, Gonzaga beats St. Mary's
on
the road.
That's the big one I
want to
talk about.
They're back.
So that's basically, so that's the end of the West Coast because they end early, right?
Like yep.
They don't have any more games. So, okay. So if you guys, if that's the championship in that conference, do both get in or does only
both of them will get in? Both of these teams make the tournament.
St. Mary's and Gonzaga?
Yep.
You don't think one could even be maybe a play-in?
I mean, no. St. Mary's is 15-1 in the conference. You're not putting the team that's 15-1 in the conference.
But look at the conference they're playing in.
Because it's Gonzaga and the fact that they have been a national power for several years, they will get in solely on that. St. Mary's, I think St. Mary's beats them in the tournament.
I think Gonzaga missed their window, though.
They did.
They should have
won the national championship.
They should have won it a couple years ago.
2017 to 2021. That was that window. They should have done something.
Yeah.
But before we get to our standings here, I think we need to shout out a very special hybrid basketball player. She has been one of the most dominant. I think they need to call her now the GOAT of women's basketball. Caitlin Clark, now Division I's college basketball's all-time leading scorer, surpassing Pistol Pete Maravich, whose record has stood for 54 years until Caitlin Clark just broke the record.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. I mean, but Caitlin Clark is it feels like that she's not even human when she plays basketball.
Well,
she can shoot it really well.
She's just so much better than everybody else on the court every game. It's like she's
it's like Michael Jordan in the flesh again.
Yep.
I mean, she's literally revolutionizing women's basketball.
Well, it's like she's a 16-year-old playing against 8-year-olds. Like, it's not even close.
Scotty, one broadcaster, so we talked about Bo Jackson's, like, it's like little kids chasing a grown man. And I'm not trying to compare her at all to Bo Jackson because it's two completely different sports, but it's kind of like referring to what you said. Caitlin Clark, man, she's going to be phenomenal. Colin's already hyped up. Unfortunately, he's not here.
She also now she's entering the draft.
She's now entering the draft, and more than likely she'll probably go to
the Indiana
Fever. Which kind of
sucks. I wish
she'd stay
another
year.
I
wanted her to come back.
And then score, then so you can't even, like,
touch it.
Argue it.
And honestly,
no, not that, but you can't even argue it. Like, here's the thing now. It's great that she's ahead of Pistol Pete, but he did this with no three-point line.
Yeah.
And he did it where you can only play X amount of years. And he only played 3 years. So, I mean, it's... Well, it's impressive.
Pistol did it quicker.
Just what the 3-point shot is able to do, like that's how you inflate. And she's one of the best 3-point shooters in the country. It's not gonna be Ionescu going up against Steph. It's gonna be Caitlin Clark going up against Steph in that 3-point shootout.
And I don't think it was necessarily a financial thing either, because she probably would have made the same amount of money staying at
Iowa
with NIL as she would have if she went to the WNBA.
Just a what if.
I don't think she would have made more money on a rookie contract in the WNBA, as with NIL, how famous she's gotten. There's no way she would have been.
I'm pretty sure that there was a rule saying that for women in college basketball that you can't go until after your senior year. I do believe.
Well, I think it's junior year.
Okay.
She would have had another year because of COVID. So every single athlete got that free year.
Yeah.
So she could have came.
All right. Well, we transition to the standings in the American Athletic Conference. South Florida currently sitting in first place.
They're a team to watch out. They won 14 in a row.
Could they be this year's Florida?
No, I don't think so. But that said, I mean, they're going to win that conference. There's no way they don't. They've probably actually
Florida Atlantic fell off.
USA teams in this conference.
Memphis was used to be in the CUSA.
Well, that was
so
a long time ago.
So
Charlotte, UAB, and North Texas.
FAU.
North Texas.
Yeah. The main thing, here's the thing. UAB actually lost today to Memphis. I don't know if you got that.
So their head coach got ejected.
Yep.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was.
Andy Kennedy.
Yeah. The thing is with Memphis is that there are times that they're good, but then at one point they hit rock bottom after the rock bottom.
They're going to lose like they did last year early.
Yeah. Moving on to the SEC, Tennessee currently controlling its own destiny, followed by South Carolina, Alabama, Auburn, and Kentucky. Florida also in the mix as well. Florida is a sleeper, honestly. South Carolina, I talked about.
This is the most balanced the SEC has been a long time.
Oh, yeah, this is the SEC's best year.
I mean, when Arkansas is in last place, that's how you know it's pretty solid.
Yeah, this
is they're not in last, but last relevant team.
Yeah, I mean, their SEC basketball this year is good.
You could argue.
You look at the coaches you got here. Eric Musselman, Chris Beard. Buzz Williams, John Calipari, Bruce Pearl. And Lamont Paris now at South Carolina. There's
Rick Barnes.
I mean, I think this year was a better year for basketball in the SEC than football.
Yeah,
in terms of like quality.
I would actually say yeah, it was. And this is because
they kind of
had
a down
tournament this year, I think, of all of them down in Nashville.
Oh, I hope we get to go. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. Purdue controls their own destiny in the Big Ten, followed by Illinois.
Purdue would have to lose out, and Illinois would have to
Followed by Illinois, Northwestern, Nebraska, Wisconsin. I mean, what more is there to say?
How about Nebraska? Fred Hoiberg, he's finally established himself. They won. They lost one game at home all year. They went 18-1, or whatever, 15-1, something like that. Crazy. They've won 20 games. This is Nebraska we're talking about. This is like, you know, we talk about Alabama. It's the same deal. No one cares about basketball in Nebraska. So for them to be able to be in a position where they're one of the top four teams in the Big Ten tournament, they're gonna get the double bye, and I mean they could upset Purdue. They've done it. They did it at home. They could do it again. And you've got Northwestern too, who lost one of their biggest players and still able to hold strong. They've also got 20 wins, 11-7 in the Big Ten. But my dark horse in this is Illinois. This is the most well-rounded team Brad Underwood has had since he's been there. Well, it's not the most talented because you had Io and Kofi on the same team. This is the most balanced, and I think this team is going to go farther than any other team he's had.
Mm-hmm. Just a little, also another comment I have here. I was looking at the standings. I didn't realize how bad Michigan was.
Michigan is
like
awful.
That's crazy. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. Weren't they like a tournament team a few years ago?
What? Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, weren't they
the Sweet 16 last year?
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, weren't they like a tournament team last year?
They're awful.
Michigan?
He's gone.
Yeah, he's
Ohio State, watch out for them. They're 18-12 now. I mean, they went out. Who knows?
Transitioning to the Big East, I don't think there's any surprise.
UConn.
Currently.
Creighton, watch out
Creighton.
For Creighton.
Creighton, there. When you got Kalkbrenner, Kalkbrenner's been good over the last few games for. But
it's UConn's to lose.
Yeah, I agree with that. Transition to the Big 12. Houston continues to control the Big 12. Iowa State, Baylor. I think Baylor is somebody. I don't think that no one else is like.
Well, Baylor's getting hot at the right time.
They are. So is BYU. Kansas is slipping a little bit. Then to round it off, the ACC, still North Carolina and Duke.
It's going to come down to that final game next Saturday.
Think about Duke.
I don't like them.
They're streaky.
I don't like them.
I don't like them either.
I really don't like how all that like court storming stuff went down, acting like Kyle Filipowski, like he died, and then you know he's doing an alley-oop to himself a week later. Please,
no,
come on.
Okay, up the security, sure. Maybe put like a 15-second window for them to get off the court. But no, come on.
And I don't think Duke's a contending team anyway.
No.
What do y'all think about John Shire?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I don't know if he's that
he's
great of
fine,
a coach. Like
but
I don't.
He could win a title, but
they're 14. They're 23-6 overall.
They got a good record.
He's doing a pretty good job. He was a first year head coach, right, when he got this job.
Yeah, I mean he was under Coach K.
Well, but Kay was grooming him for the last 5 or 6 years before he retired.
Oh, okay. So basically,
yeah, he was coaching waiting. My team will have Clemson. They've beaten both Duke and North Carolina.
I like Clemson. They got a really good offense.
Syracuse is kind of having a decent year.
They've 20-10. I mean,
I didn't realize Syracuse had that.
Me neither.
Wow.
There's another one.
Syracuse.
I mean, the funny thing about this is, it's like, ACC. Oh, ACC's terrible this year. I still think it's gonna get six teams in the tournament.
ACC's definitely having a down year. But
it is, but even a down year for the ACC is.
You got Jim Larinaga down there fighting to be .500 this year. It's above .500. So It's a down year.
You know, it's a down year with Louisville's in last.
There's good programs. Notre Dame's coach is having a good second half of the year.
Yeah, he's going to figure it out. Yep.
Louisville will be back. Miami will be fine.
Hopefully.
And, you know.
Someday.
Louisville's got too much money and a big enough brand. They'll be back.
Yep.
They just really screwed up this past hire. But that'll be over in about, 9-10 days. So it'll be a new chapter for all the Louisville listeners on here.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No question. Going to our predictions now. In the Big Ten, Purdue in Illinois. It's at Illinois. So it could be tough.
Give me Illinois in this one. Ooh. I think Illinois beats Purdue and then loses to Iowa.
Okay, I think interesting. If Zach Edey plays well, then give me Purdue. If they find a way to slow him down, then give me Illinois, but I'll take Purdue.
Illinois almost beat Purdue at Purdue without Terrence Shannon Jr. So
this is at Illinois too,
yep.
Right?
I think Illinois gets them.
I don't know.
And then Purdue goes to the Final Four.
Yeah.
You got Purdue in the Final Four this year?
Yep.
Could be a loss that maybe Purdue needs, though.
Yep. That's why I think give me Illinois in this one.
And then this is going to be like a turning point for Purdue, you think?
Not necessarily a turning point, but it's one of those where you lose one, you get it out of the way. You saw what Kentucky did in 2015 where they went 38-1. If they had lost any game in the regular season or in the SEC tournament, they win the national championship. No doubt.
The added pressure of the perfect season. I mean, I know Purdue's got losses too, but I get what you're saying. They lost that game.
It's like a reset when you lose.
There's good losses.
All right.
There's good losses. This would be
a good no one's loss. Gonna look at him and go, "Oh my gosh!" Like they lost at Illinois.
I want to see him competitive. Yeah. I want it to come down to the wire in Illinois. It will. To win
if Illinois is gonna win this, game. It's gonna be close.
Definitely.
Alabama travels to the swamp to take on Florida. Now, Florida competed with them really close. Florida.
I like Bama. I like Bama to bounce back.
I think this is a good bounce back game for Alabama, but don't be surprised if Florida pulls it off.
I like the Gators.
Wow. All right.
I'm going Alabama, though.
Okay.
I'm going Alabama, but it would not surprise me if Florida finds a way to win because it's at the swamp, and the swamp is a tough place to play.
Super nerdy, like sports nerdy of me to admit, but I've been watching every coach that's been mentioned for the Louisville job. I've been watching all of their press conferences and kind of following them. So, I don't think Nate Oates is coming to Louisville, but I've been following his press conferences just in case to see, the type of coach we're getting. I listened to him talk after that Tennessee loss, and I think they're going to be ready to play. And I think they're going to come out guns blazing, and I don't think Florida's going to be able to keep up.
In an in-state rival at Allen Fieldhouse, Kansas State versus Kansas. Now,
Any other week, I'm picking Kansas State, but give me Kansas.
They're not losing.
They've lost two in a row. Yep. This is at home. They already lost. They lost Kansas State, right?
Yeah.
They lost to Kansas State earlier.
Yeah. No, give me Kansas. I think Kansas wins by 10.
They're not losing at Allen Fieldhouse two games in a row. Nope.
It's hard to do, but I'll take Kansas. I'll take him. Tennessee at South Carolina, which is good. I'll take Tennessee.
This is an interesting one.
It's an interesting matchup right here.
I heard, so Saturday they were talking about the South Carolina game. They said the students were on spring break. If their spring break is this week, give me Tennessee. If their spring break was last week and they're coming back from spring break, give me South Carolina.
I'm going to take Tennessee.
I just think South Carolina has limitations.
Yeah, I think Tennessee should beat them, but you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never know. It's at South Carolina, and they've won at South Carolina before. South Carolina, that is.
I think Tennessee's going to win. I think Tennessee is the real deal. I've been on kind of the
Did they finally crack the Final Four for the first time ever?
It's so hard to predict because I don't like to make bold predictions like that until I see the bracket. Yeah. They definitely have the tools. I think Dalton Knett's the best person to put on
Dalton
a Tennessee jersey in my lifetime.
Yep.
I
mean, Dalton Connect.
Grant Williams and
Dalton Connect. I mean, you talked about him earlier. He's a good player. You got Vescovy, who's
obnoxious. I won't believe he's been there for 70 years. I swear.
The Vols have a really good team this year.
They do.
They do.
We'll see if Rick can finally crack the Final Four for the university.
Speaking of Tennessee, down at good old Rocky Top, Kentucky will play Tennessee.
Wow, you're
Tennessee.
Making pick two games in a row.
Wish that I was on a Rocky Top. Give me Tennessee.
Tennessee's right. not losing to Kentucky on senior day. No.
They walked into Rupp and manhandled.
They did.
Give me the Vols.
Yep.
I don't even know what I was about to say.
You're about to say the Vols.
I don't know what I was about to say. Give me the Vols.
I'm gonna take. I'll take Tennessee. I mean, it's. Well, I'm trying to think. What was the arena called? Oh, Thompson Bowling Arena. Thompson Bowling Arena is a brutal.
It's a hard
place to play. It is brutal.
It's
problem is, thing is, I could see Kentucky winning this for some.
I could, but let's just say if Kentucky finds a way to win this game, it's gonna be an all timer. Because you know the final score is going to be like 110 to 108.
Yeah, we're going to get an NBA game.
I feel like Tennessee still plays actual defense.
That's why Tennessee's going to win. They're at home and they play defense. Mm-hmm. And I think they beat Kentucky. I still think Kentucky's going to score 75, 80 points, but I think you're going to have a similar situation to what happened in Alabama. I think Tennessee wins it 92-84.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, we're going from Rocky Top to Blue Blood Country. Duke versus North Carolina in a battle of who wins the ACC regular season.
Barring something happening this week.
Well, talk about this weekend. Well, this upcoming
weekend. I meant like one of them loses this week. Yeah. Like, well, yeah, if Duke loses
North
this
Notre
week.
Dame at home and Duke plays, they play NC State on the
road.
NC State could be an interesting one. But
I don't know. I think they both get by those games.
If hypothetically, like you said, if it comes down to the conference title, Duke's winning. It's at home. Give me Duke.
I think it's at North Carolina.
No, last one was at Duke.
It's at Duke. Okay. Cameron Indoor Stadium. It's hard to pick Duke. It's at home.
To North Carolina. Duke loses to Wake Forest at home, not North Carolina at home.
Duke loses to Wake Forest on a Tuesday night, but North Carolina Saturday college game day's there.
Come on, it's Duke's to lose. They're not losing that one.
No, I agree. I think Duke wins it.
I don't know.
That's gonna be
RJ Davis, best in the country.
RJ Davis,
preview of the ACC championship.
Hubert Davis has done a fantastic job taking over for Roy Williams.
All right, fine.
So.
Duke wins this one. North Carolina wins the tournament.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, the conference tournament.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. I'll be.
And I want that
I'll
to
take
be
Duke.
The championship game. Like I want to see
that.
That
would be amazing.
Yeah, it should be.
Because it'll be the 1-2.
1-2.
Hopefully.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even actually.
Regardless,
it's locked up.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. To our couple of headlines we got here. Do you think Houston is the team to beat?
Yep. Yeah. Right now, until they lose.
Fine, Will. I'll say yes. Will came up to me last night. We were hanging out. And he goes, "Houston's winning it all," and I was like,
"Well,
it's hard for me to tell you."
I mean, honestly,
they're really, really good.
They are good, but. Part of me just still wants to say UConn.
Houston has had all these things go wrong. Houston, if they had stuff go right, everyone forgets about, you know, everyone talks about the 83 North Carolina State team. That 83 Houston team was arguably one of the best college basketball
teams in history.
They might
State.
Be the best college basketball team in history. And, I mean, this is finally going to be the team that does it and gets Houston that long-awaited
championship. Have they never won the championship?
Nope.
Yeah.
Man, all right.
So it'd be like what 41 years later?
Yep.
Because that Houston team should have won it back then.
Now Houston, a couple teams that should have won it.
Yeah.
Who do you think is a dark horse Final Four team this year?
Talked about them earlier.
Illinois. Yeah.
I knew you were gonna say that one.
Illinois.
I'm not just saying that to say it. I've watched Illinois quite a bit over the last several years.
I'm not saying it's a bad take at all.
Watched them quite a bit over the last several years, and this is the team that they look. They're well rounded. They're obviously well coached, and they have veteran guys like Terrence Shannon Jr. Mm-hmm. who have been around a while. And you know, I mean, the rest of their roster. Then you got Marcus Damask, the SIU transfer. I mean, this is a team that if they get the right draw, it's all about the draw. But if they get a draw, it's favorable to them. If there's no Houston, if there's no, give me Illinois to go to the Final Four.
What do you think, Logan?
I mean, I don't know. Is Baylor a dark horse?
I mean, yeah.
I would say so.
Because they beat Kansas this week. Yeah. So,
I mean, if you're judging Baylor, you take out their history, you take out their coach. Yep. If you're judging it on the team they've got this year, I'd say it's a dark horse team.
Yeah, but I could see them. Because they're getting hot.
I could honestly say Duke or North Carolina.
North Carolina, or Duke. If Duke doesn't win the
ACC and loses in the ACC tournament, they would be. But it's also Duke.
I've got a team that's now rated pretty high, but I think that maybe a team nobody's really thinking about could go on a deep run. And they're also probably not even the best team in their conference.
Well, they're definitely not. They're second or third. You could argue who's two and three. I'm going to go Creighton. I think Creighton could maybe make a run to the Final Four this year. They got really, really close last
year. Yep.
And I like McDermott. And I think they've got some good wins. And not only do they have some good wins this year, they got some good wins on the road this year.
They've also some good players. Kalkbrenner is a very good player for them. I'm trying to think who's another solid big that's just been solid all year for Creighton.
I don't know, but Creighton's just they got. I just think that they could be a little sleeper team that can maybe go on a run. I'm not saying they were last year.
I mean Creighton's always around. Like
the team that beats UConn by 20 at home. They could maybe do some damage. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did get. I will give UConn some credit. UConn beat them by. Like
all right, 14. So by this Tyler, who's yours? Would you say Duke?
I said Duke.
So by this logic, in a perfect world, Illinois, Duke, Baylor, and Creighton. That's your Final Four. All right.
Actually,
we all know who everyone's not rooting for in that one.
I was also going to say
four letters, and it goes D-U-K-E.
Yeah, I was also going to say on a Baylor Shireman. He's also been pretty doggone good.
Oh, Baylor's.
For Creighton, that is. What? Baylor Shireman.
Oh, okay.
I thought Baylor Shireman for Creighton because I was trying to figure out who was that big was that he can shoot the ball really well. It's Shireman. He's good for Creighton, but I would just say Duke is still my dark horse team still. But y'all got any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Nope.
All right, well, that said.
Forget the ninth region.
We got the ninth region. We got a lot of games still to come here on the Hill. Especially in the high school basketball tournament. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Will Gerber, for Will Gerber, Tanner Blood, and Logan Blanford, Tyler Fernandez, sign off for now. We'll see you next time. And as always, go Tops!
Go Purples.